we're examining the ongoing use of telehealth visits, especially for our most vulnerable patients. Maybe they still don't feel safe coming into the office, or, you know, maybe they don't have transportation to come in, but yet we still want to take good care of them.
You're listening to Inside Health Tech from Apixio. Join us as we explore the intersection of healthcare, data, and technology with leading industry experts. Inside Health Tech from Apixio.
Hey folks, thanks for joining us for this episode of Inside Health Tech. I'm your host, Brian Lee, Vice President of Solutions at Apixio. I'm joined today by an HCC coding and documentation expert, Kelly Scott, from Providence St. Joe's. So Kelly, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and let the listeners know why you're considered an expert in this field? Kind of a leading question since I've known you for a year plus, and you certainly are an expert with being both clinical and documentation specialists. So tell us in your words.
Well, thank you for having me, Brian. So I have been a nurse practitioner for over 20 years. Much of that time was spent in internal medicine. But about 9 years ago, I was asked if I would do a little bit of chart reviewing. At the time, I didn't really know anything about risk adjustment programs, HCCs, or how much healthcare would pivot away from fee-for-service toward a more value-based outcomes-oriented model. Needless to say, I have learned a lot along the way. Being considered a subject matter expert is in large part thanks to my boss and her boss. They created an environment for me to learn and grow. In addition to that, I'm a very curious person. I like to understand things. So I research and I ask questions until things make sense for me. The other thing is I say yes. Over the years, my organization has asked me, can you pilot this? Can you try this? Can you do that? What about this? I've said yes for all of it. Doing that has opened the door for new opportunities for me.
Well, Kelly, you do have a very diverse background. Can you talk about kind of the different hats you wear and how they work with and maybe challenge one another?
Sure. Let me talk about my different roles first, and then I'll address the second part of your question. So my position has really developed and transitioned organically from a nurse practitioner to prospective, retrospective chart reviewer, to being part of the leadership team in our risk adjustment and HCC department. So in amongst that, so bulk of my job is really provider education, talking to our doctors and nurse practitioners about all things risk adjustment, whether it be MA, MSSP, ACOs, how HCCs relate to that, proper coding and documentation, best practices. So I give a lot of presentations, whether it's onboarding a new PCP, doing specialists, or rolling out a system-wide training initiative. I also do some EMR optimization as related to HCCs, like where HCC summary reports are located and how to make different adjustments there. I also oversee some of our HCC programs on the inpatient side, and I'm a clinical resource for our coding auditors. So I do education with them about disease process, about querying providers, and how to navigate the electronic medical record to find pertinent information. I also do chart reviews, mining, and QA projects. And then I'm also part of the HCC technology and best practices committees, amongst all the other things that I do.
That is a lot of hats to wear, for sure.
But if I circle back around to what you asked me about patient care and the bottom line and how all of that kind of intersects. So, I mean, as you know, HCCs are the way that CMS has decided to adjust payments based on the complexity of our patients. So I have to be cognizant of the bottom line and how my work contributes to it. So ensuring that reimbursement is appropriately allocated is important, but I'm a clinician. So patient care and quality are really what drives me. And there have been some research studies out there actually that show that higher HCC scores correlate with lower readmission rates and better quality scores. And I guess the idea of taking care of the whole patient and not letting things fall off the radar is something that really appeals to me about HCCs. I guess you could look at it, that's kind of how I contribute to patient care from a non-clinical role.
But you still are performing in that clinical role, though, correct? I mean, you still spend time in the clinic. We talk about that periodically. But you also spend a tremendous amount of time on the business side. So can you talk to me about what you think of are some of the constraints that are affecting your current role and how that impacts patient care and business operations? And you talked a little bit about finance as well.
So we always have challenges. So our goal is always to provide quality, holistic care to our patients. Part of that relies on having a medical record which accurately reflects the complexity and overall health risks of our patients. So the sheer quantity of data that exists in an EMR can be challenging. I mean, ideally, you would have all clinically relevant information at the point of care without having to weed through hundreds or even thousands of pages. And that, coupled with payers moving toward value-based care models, it really increases the workload of a department like mine. So those are the biggest challenges we face now, is just with volume and workload.
So are you saying then that really what the biggest challenge is getting that full picture, getting that complete view for not for just for risk averse, but also for the clinical care, that's a big challenge. And you see your role is helping to solve that by making sure that the documentation you're reviewing is complete and accurate and is being leveraged appropriately in a timely fashion.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. So what role do you think technology then plays kind of in optimizing your workflow and kind of addressing those challenges?
So I really see it as automating some of our workflows to increase the bandwidth of my department. We have high demand on our department right now, and artificial intelligence programs, I mean, they serve up clinical data in a fraction of the time that it takes for us to do it manually.
By providing insights, by pointing you to those sections in that unstructured as well as structured data?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that allows us to touch more charts.
So it sounds like you're leveraging a lot of technology today, especially in your role, beyond just the ability to really affect the care of the clinician. Are there other benefits like being more cost effective? Is that something that you look at as you're evaluating that technology, or cost effective in terms of delivery of care as well?
Yes. So I mentioned earlier talking about bandwidth, which is really where I think that the cost effectiveness comes in. So cutting out some of that manual work allows our department to review more charts. I've seen some reports that by 2025, that there will be a risk adjustment component for all Medicare payments. So if that's true, it will be really crucial for my department to be able to use technology to improve our workflows. And so the other cost effectiveness would be in managing the volume of charts that we need to review. So we can either hire hundreds of people to take care of the influx, or we can use technology to streamline our process a little bit.
Do you see the work you're doing and you leveraging this technology having a positive impact on the providers as well?
Yeah.
In terms of cost effectiveness, in terms of their labor. I go to my physician, they're always talking about how much time they have to spend doing data entry, that administrative burden. Do you see that the effort you're doing is helping eliminate some of that professional burden?
Yes. I mean, any time that you can queue up information for a doctor to evaluate and do medical decision making on it versus them having to dig through and locate things, that allows them to do what they're wanting to do most, which is care for the patients and not do tons of extra paperwork and computer work and things like that. So it definitely helps our doctors with all the challenges that they have in the clinical setting.
So taking that clinical aspect for a second, how can you leverage technology to learn more about what about the patient and to help the patients with their outcomes? How can we use that technology in a way not just to benefit the provider, but also to help that patient as well? How do you see that working with technology today?
So currently, technology where it's using analytics and AI to develop like a member profile or phenotype, if you will, can be created. And that really incorporates all kinds of data from the chart so that you end up with a complete picture of the patient as a whole. And anytime that you have all the information that you need for medical decision-making, the patient's going to benefit from that. We want to make sure that we're looking at everything that might impact their care and not have things fall off the radar and try and keep them as healthy as they can be and keep them out of the hospital if we can do that as well. patients tend to be much happier when they're at home and not in the hospital.
For sure. And with the COVID environment we have going on today, and especially a few years or months back, you couldn't make it into the hospital if just for most conditions. So that's great. Let's talk a little bit about COVID and how has it impacted your department?
Well, COVID had a huge impact on just every aspect of healthcare. But I think that one of the biggest for us was really just in regards to how can we do things differently? Our organization ramped up telehealth visits pretty quickly so that we could care for our patients in a safe manner. Now that states are opening up, patients are coming back into the office, we're examining the ongoing use of telehealth visits, especially for our most vulnerable patients. Maybe they still don't feel safe coming into the office, or you know, maybe they don't have transportation to come in, but yet we still want to take good care of them. And so we're currently looking into that and how HCCs and risk adjustment fit into that as well.
Can we talk a little bit about the findings that you've worked on when you were looking at the telehealth? So looking at it from a risk adjustment perspective and as an educator, what types of activities did you see needed to be incorporated into telehealth visits? Or did you find that the telehealth visits were just as rich and vibrant as an in-clinic visit for risk adjustment purposes? Was there a change you needed to make with your providers in educating them around documentation?
So not really a change in documentation per se. I mean, the HCC and required documentation that goes with that is the same whether you're seeing the patient in person or telehealth. Some of the challenges were certainly the things that we always have with technology and can people get connected and do they have a strong enough internet connection and just the technical aspect of actually doing a telehealth visit. The other thing that really opened the way for taking to addressing HCCs is telehealth visits were not prior to COVID considered an acceptable visit in order to be able to capture HCCs. But since COVID, that has changed. And so now, especially, like I said, for our most vulnerable patients, and that is really something that we want to continue to do if our patients can't get into the office.
Have started to appear in terms of the clinical delivery that are maybe posing some challenges for you in terms of making sure we have the risk adjustment captured. Are you seeing your providers doing in-home assessments or in-home visits that maybe you hadn't seen prior to COVID? And that again is showing in terms of the documentation needed for risk adjustment.
So yes, we do have the home health program. It is currently in transition of just what you're talking about. How do we incorporate HCCs into that? And so that's currently in the works. And I expect that over the next couple of months, that will really become a lot more robust.
I always love to ask one of these questions, and that is looking in your crystal ball for a minute. Let's talk about the impact COVID has had in a positive way. So looking in your crystal ball, what predictions do you have of the positive outcomes of this time when we've been experiencing COVID? It's going to be personal. This can be work-related, but let's talk about a positive outcome from all of this.
Well, I can answer that in a lot of different ways. So from a work aspect, working from home, you definitely can be a blessing or a curse. But for the most part, I like working remote. It gives a lot more flexibility in being able to get things done. That's been a benefit for myself. And then as far as my family, because of how COVID affected my son, who's a college student and what have you, he ended up moving back home. And so I don't have to worry about having empty nest syndrome at the moment because he is back with me, which is actually a good thing. I don't mind having him at all.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And another positive, we got a puppy. And again, that can be a blessing and a curse too, I guess.
Definitely added work.
Yes, but he's very cute and sweet.
Oh, and what did you name the puppy? Are there COVID puppy names that are circulating that folks look at when they bring a puppy home?
Well, possibly, but I let my children name the dog. So his name is Bentley.
I like it.
Because they said he looked like a Bentley. And I was like, well, I don't know what that looks like, but okay, we'll go with that.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Kelly, I want to thank you and all of our listeners for joining us today on this episode of Inside Health Tech. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Inside Health Tech is a production of Apixio. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To learn more about Apixio's AI analytics solutions for healthcare, visit apixio.com. Inside Health Tech from Apixio.